Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the, you ready for this? The Don't Drive Like My Brother department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Now, why do I have a feeling that this is not going to reflect well on me?
Well, what does?
That's true. That is true.
Now, but listen to this. I read an interesting article from a journal called Cerebral Cortex. Now, don't ask me why I was reading this. Anyway, but it says, you ready for this? Bad driving may be genetic.
Really?
Yeah. They did a study, and they found there's a certain gene variant, and people with that variant performed 20% worse on driving tests.
Wow, that's very interesting.
And you know how many Americans have this bad driving gene?
How about one? Me.
No, 30%. 30% of Americans have the bad driving gene.
30%, and they all live in Boston?
Well, we don't know where they live because there's no commercially available test for the gene variant as of yet. But you know, I worked on it, and I came up with a test of my own, and I can tell you that you, Thomas, definitely came back positive for the bad driving gene.
What'd you do? Follow me around or what?
No, I just counted the dents in your car. You've got it, man. You've got it bad. Anyway, if you've got a question about your car or your driving, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Ravi Raj from Woburn, Massachusetts.
Ravi.
Ravi Raj.
Raj, Ravi Raj. From Woburn.
Woburn, exactly.
How are you?
Yeah, fine. Thank you, sir. I'm
doing
fine.
I do love your name. It's so alliterative.
Yes.
So Ravi is your first name. R-A-V-I?
You got it, like a ravioli.
Ravi.
Oh, you're Italian.
You know, I thought you were a paisan.
So what's up?
No, this is regarding I'm driving this little old car. This is a 2002 Dodge Stratus ES model.
Ah, the ES model, yes.
Yes, and it was running good. I love this baby, and, you know, changed the tire, radiator, you name it, you know, catalyst converter, you name it. I changed everything.
You name it, you've done it.
Yeah, yes.
How many miles on it?
120K.
Okay.
Oh, brand new.
Yes.
It is now. It's replaced everything.
So I even changed it recently, like 4 new tires and everything. And then what happened is I was driving this car and started seeing a white smoke coming out of the hood, opened it, and then saw that steam is coming out of the coolant.
Coming out of the bottle.
Yes, exactly. The plastic container, yeah.
Okay.
And I took this car to a couple of garages. They told me, like, when they checked the dipstick, they told me, like, my coolant is leaking into the engine.
So you have either a cracked cylinder head or a blown head gasket or a cracked block.
None of which are really good news.
Yes, exactly. It's going to cost me a lot of money, I guess.
So how are you still in love with this car, Robbie?
Oh, yeah. I love this car, but I want to give it to my wife, though. You know, I don't want to drive anymore.
Well, just give it to her. Let her figure it out.
Well, oh, what a bummer. These guys have the only way they – I'm sure they've told you this. The only way they're going to know for sure is to begin to disassemble the engine.
The engine.
Uh-oh.
And because if it's a head gasket – or a cracked head, that will be obvious when they take the engine apart.
Uh-huh.
And this is a four-cylinder engine, I take it.
Exactly, four-cylinder, yes.
The best-case scenario is it's going to cost you $1,000.
Oh, my God.
That's the best.
Yeah.
And that's to, you know, resurface the cylinder head and put a new gasket on and put it all back together and probably put a new timing belt on, whatever it may need, whatever collateral damage occurs when they take this thing apart. We'll have to get fixed, obviously.
Okay.
And I think $1,000 or maybe a little more is the right price for that in this market.
Okay. So is it worthwhile? That's what my...
It wasn't worthwhile when you put the tires on it.
Yeah. I did.
I think what you do, these people who have looked at it, are they your regular repair shop?
Uh-huh. Yes.
So
yes.
They know the car.
Yes.
Have they been trying to get you to get rid of this for a long time?
Oh, they do. As soon as they saw that, you know, Ravi, you have to spend like, you know, $1,800, you know, it's not worth it. Just why don't you go and put it towards a new car, you know?
Here's what you do.
Yes.
Ask these guys to, even though they've worked in the car on a regular basis, ask them to take the car back.
Okay.
And go through it.
Okay.
And check everything. You know, check the ball joints. I mean, they can assess the transmission too because the car is still drivable. and find out what else is looming on the horizon.
Okay.
Yeah.
It may be that there are three or four other big repairs coming down the pipeline.
Okay.
It might add up to 3,000.
Ay, caramba.
In which case, it's time to get rid of it.
Okay.
And if they say, yeah, geez, you know, you might need a new engine.
Yeah.
In which case, you'd get a used engine because you wouldn't want to put a new engine in this.
No, no.
Even when they made the car brand new, yep, they contemplated putting used engines in them.
That's true.
You know, so you certainly wouldn't want to do that. So I would say have them check it out. If it checks out okay and it doesn't need anything else immediately,
mm-hmm,
then you have to bite the bullet, have them take the head off, and then that's going to cost a few $100. If they say, look, the head's fine,
yeah,
the head gasket is fine, the block is cracked,
okay,
then you can make the determination about getting rid of the car.
Okay.
You know, and maybe your wife would just like to have it as a lawn ornament. Ravi, good luck.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Thanks for your advice now.
Ravi Raj, we love your name, man.
Yes, thank you. I should say thank you very much. Come back again.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
So long.
He should be a rock. With a name like that, he should be a rock star.
He should be.
Ravi Raj.
He's wasting his time.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Teresa from Yakima, Washington.
Teresa.
Teresa.
Yes.
Not Teresa.
No.
T-E-R-E-S-S-A?
One S.
See how to pronounce your name? Teresa.
I introduce myself even as Teresa just because it's easier half the time.
But you like the pronunciation of Teresa.
Yeah, that's what I'm called.
Yeah, see, from my recollection of the English language, softening that E would require two S's, but that's okay.
Hey, she can do it any way she wants to do it.
No, she's going to be Terry. We're calling her Terry. And you're from Yakima, Washington?
Yes.
Okay, Teresa, what's up?
I have about an hour-long commute to work, and on some days I kind of want to give my interpretation of professionalism, so I try to do my hair when I am going into work.
While you're driving?
Well, see, that's the thing. I set my hair on curlers, and then as I'm driving, I point the heater vents at my head, and that gives me a blow dry.
I see. Must do a job in your mascara, though, right?
It's a little hard for the dry eye, yes.
It's a little hard for the dry eye. So you're
driving along.
And you've, yes, got everything aimed at your noggin.
Yes.
And so how many curlers typically do you... Who screens these calls? how many curlers do you have in?
There's probably 15.
Wow.
So the problem is that the back of my head never gets dry.
Of course.
So the front will be curly and the back is flat.
Oh, of course.
And I need a way to get the back of my head dry without getting up earlier in the morning and doing my hair at home.
Well, you could back up the last 1,000 yards.
No, that's not good.
That's not going to work?
I think, is there anyone that you know that goes in the same direction as you?
Yes.
So it's possible that if you had two people.
Or carpool.
Yeah.
Oh.
That person could sort of steer for you while you turn around.
Or maybe that person could even drive. And you... So what do you, wait a minute, what do you do for a living that you need to have these, that you need to have this hairstyle, that this is so important?
I'm a software developer, but sometimes I have to meet with people who are far higher up the food chain than I am, which is like, you know, janitors and stuff. I have to break out of the sweats, and so I do the hair.
Yeah.
Well,
so here's what you could do. You could get up a few minutes earlier.
No, I can't.
Okay, you can't get up a few minutes earlier. Okay, so you want to you're determined to do the whole thing while the car's in motion, and you don't necessarily want another, because you could have a passenger who could man the blow dryer.
I could do that.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
So what you really need, you don't need heat. You need airflow. I got it. You need to go to jcwhitney.com. And J.C.
Yeah.
Whitney sells all manner of stuff that doesn't really work. But one of the things they do sell, I believe, is a rear window defogger that's actually a heating element and a blower. And you can mount this thing facing the wrong way.
Oh, my
God. Exactly.
Gosh.
Right? In other words, it's not going to face the rear window. It's going to face the rear of your head.
That would be perfect.
And you'll have to put it off to the side because you have a headrest that you're going to have to contend with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? You have to buy four. But start with one.
Okay.
Start with one, yeah.
Start with
I think
one.
It's going to work.
I'll give it a whirl for sure.
I bet you will. So have you noticed, is there a correlation between having your hair done nice and having a higher success rate at work and not having your hair done?
I'm not sure yet. I haven't actually, you know, achieved success, so I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm glad we've been able to help.
Thank you so much.
And more importantly, I'm glad we've been able to help in a way that keeps both of your hands on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
You need one of these. And as a matter of fact, any fan will do. If you had a fan mounted in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. J.C. Whitney also sells these adapters that go from 12 volts to 110 volts. So you can put the kind of fan that you'd have in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Not a ceiling fan, but a regular fan that's, you know, that sits on the floor. You could put that in the back seat. And just circulate the air. And just keep shaking your head. And you'll be fine. Teresa, you're a nut. But we think you're great. And good luck.
Thank you so much.
See you later.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
We have solved her problem.
I think so.
I'm amazed.
The noise is going to drive her crazy. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Carrie from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I bought a great end-of-the-year deal Honda Odyssey minivan,
mm-hmm.
and a week later I drove it to a meeting at our local university, and I parked the car, realized I was in the wrong place. So I started the car up again to move, and it got stuck in park, and I could not get it out of park. So I recruited some students who were walking up and down the sidewalk to push the car forward, push it back, get in, try to shift it for me, turn the wheel to the left, turn the wheel to the right. I was at a complete loss. It was just jammed in park.
Was this a brand-new Odyssey, an 09?
No, a 2000 Odyssey.
Oh, a 2000. End of the year. It just happened to be the end of the year, but it wasn't...
Yeah, I got a good deal on it. And then a week later this happened, and I thought maybe the deal was too good.
Uh-huh. So they were not able to move this vehicle at all?
Well, then I finally called AAA, and this guy came. He was huge. And he got in the car.
And grabbed that shifter and yanked it.
And he got it into reverse. And I was jumping up and down, and I said, wait a minute. No, what did you do? I tried everything. What did you do differently? And it turned out that he turned the wheel to the right and locked the steering wheel, and then he was able to get it out of park.
Were you by any chance parked on a hill of any kind?
No, it was completely flat.
Completely flat.
It was completely flat. And you feel that by locking the steering wheel and taking the key out?
No. The car was running, and he turned the wheel to the right and locked it.
Yeah, turned it to the lock position.
Yeah.
He didn't try to take the key out or do anything like that. He left it running. And then he was able to yank on the shifter. I mean, what's wrong is that the parking pawl is jamming, maybe because of wear. You know, and when you put the thing in park, what you do is you basically lock up the output shaft of the transmission. And in doing so, you force the transmission, if it's going to turn at all, it's going to be turned then by the wheels, one of which is trying to go forward and the other one backwards. That's how park works. The
uh-huh.
car won't roll because the transmission is both trying to go up the hill and down the hill at the same time.
And that's hard to do.
That is hard. Unless you can saw the thing in half. But it could be that the locking pawl mechanism is just worn out. Okay? And if that's the case, you can either have it fixed or you can use an intermediate step. And that is, when you do park the vehicle, you apply the handbrake first.
Okay.
And if you apply the handbrake and then put it in park, the park thing only acts as really as the backup. So if the car should get pushed by somebody or if it should try to roll down a hill, then in fact the parking pawl would go into effect and keep the thing from moving.
Okay, so every time I park it, put the brake on.
First,
yeah.
Okay.
You have to put it on first. So what have you done since then, since that incident?
I haven't driven the car much.
That's good. You know, you also have in this vehicle you cannot take this thing out of gear unless you step on the brake. You're aware of that?
Yes, I did that.
Okay, you did that, but it may be that switch is not actuating. When
uh-huh.
when you step on the brake, you should be able to hear a slight clicking sound.
No.
So it could be that.
Okay.
It could be that, and that's relatively...
That would be easier.
That would be relatively easier to fix. So you need to take it someplace.
Okay.
Okay, and make sure that that isn't the problem. And if that isn't the problem and the problem is inside the transmission, then you may decide to go ahead and use the parking brake.
Okay.
Use that method first, parking brake, and then put the thing in park. But okay. If that solenoid is faulty or the switch on the brake pedal is faulty, then that method won't work. It still won't come out of park.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so you could decide to park it and never drive it again.
Right.
And that'll work.
That will work really, really well.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, that's been working, yeah.
Yeah, that works really well. Well, good luck, Carrie. Let us know your make out.
Okay,
thank
you.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, it's time for that part of the show I know that you look forward to.
Time's up already? Okay, see you next week.
No, 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 sit down. Don't go anywhere. Oh. I'm talking about the answer to last week's puzzler.
Oh, that part of the show.
Yeah, that part of the show. Well, last week's puzzler involved a list of words that had something in common, and we'll be back with the whole story and more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned. And even though elephants try really hard to forget whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this puzzler was a non-automotive, non-historic, non-folkloric, non-obfuscated word puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
And here's what I did. I gave out a list of words, and the assignment was to tell me what those words had in common. And I'll repeat the list. Deft, as in no one would ever call my brother deft.
No, I hear perfectly.
Are you deft in one ear? First, my brother came in first in the ugly contest. Calmness. A calmness set in as my brother left the room. Canopy. Pass the canopies, said Bugsy. No, that wasn't it. A canopy covered the entrance to the garage so my brother wouldn't get wet when he got up in the middle of the night. Laughing. My brother's mental condition is no laughing matter.
Hmm.
Stupid.
Don't even.
It's too easy. Crab cake. I won't go there either.
Don't go there either. No.
Hijack. As in, the hijacker gave up immediately when he realized my brother was one of the passengers.
Wow.
Well, you could actually solve it just by just using the first two words.
Really?
Yeah.
And deft and first.
What all of these words have in common is they all contain three consecutive letters of the alphabet.
Oh!
Is that sneaky?
So they do!
D-E-F-R-S-T-L-M-N-N-O-P in canopy.
O-P.
G-H-I in laughing, et cetera, S-T-U in stupid.
Very, very
good. A-B-C in
good.
Crab cake. Do we have a winner?
H-I-J. Yeah, we do.
You didn't trust me, did you?
Just going to. No, I didn't. Yeah, we have a winner. It's John Leet, L-E-E-T-E, from Arlington, Virginia. And for having his answer selected at random from the back hole full of correct answers that we got, John is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division. And with that, John can get a Best of Car Talk CD or so many things that I can't even begin I already did begin, didn't I?
You already started.
I can't even end.
Anyway, we'll have a new puzzle coming up in the third half of today's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kristen calling from Starksboro, Vermont.
Hi, Kristen from Starksboro?
Yes.
That sounds ominous.
It is. What's,
where is Starksboro?
We are in the western slopes of the Green Mountains, so about, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes as the crow flies from Burlington.
Yes, and
And it's cold
And do crows fly in this weather, or is it too cold?
Very, very slowly.
The ice is slowing them down.
Exactly.
Anyway, what's going on, Kristen?
Well, speaking of things slowing down, I'm calling about my windshield wipers, and I noticed that first thing in the morning, they were just really slow to move.
Oh.
So I just figured it was just because it's cold out. But now, when I turn them on the intermittent level, they go up about a third of the way and then just stop and stay there and then wait a little bit, and then maybe they'll go down. But, of course, I'm too impatient, so I just have to force them down by holding down the little doohickey thingamajigger joystick to force it down. However, if I have them on full blast, they work just fine.
Oh, really?
So my question is, I'm thinking, is it the switch? Is it the delay? Is it something I can do on the cheap, hopefully?
First of all, what kind of a car is this?
Oh, yes. It's a 2001 Saturn wagon with almost 170,000 miles on it.
So when they're on delay, then they don't work properly. And that's
correct.
Well, they are doing what you're asking.
Yes.
Delaying. They're saying we can do that.
Does it make
anything wrong here?
You have an adjustable delay?
Yes. There's three different positions, either the first, the second, or the third. And there's also the option to just push down on it once, and it'll
Does one swipe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you do that, does it do the one swipe?
It does it about a third of the way up and stops.
It sounds to me like the problem is in the wiper motor.
Sure does.
Crushing.
Well,
is
you've got 168,000 miles on this thing, right?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Well, I was kind of hoping I could milk them for a few more miles.
Well, you can. I mean, the winter's almost over. I mean,
true.
Only, what, 4 or 5 more months.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's mud season.
And then there's mud season. Then black fly season.
Exactly.
Oh, and then the oppressive summer humidity.
Yes.
And what's after that? Oh, winter again.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, it just never ends, does it?
Really, no.
I mean, the good news is no matter what's going on, you can always go back and get them to work correctly.
Right.
You know, well, you need to have someone do, I mean, I don't know without doing some tests, but you need to see if, in fact, you're getting current to the motor you're supposed to be getting current to the motor. So if you're on intermittent and there's no juice going to the motor, then it's likely it's the switch.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you put it on the high speed, it'll always work right?
Yes.
So what's the problem?
Well, exactly.
Well, Kristen, you're taking advice, or you're about to take advice from a guy whose wipers don't work.
Let me guess, you just Rain-X your windshield.
No, he doesn't even do that. He stays home when it rains. And if he's ventured out someplace and it started to rain, he leaves the car there. So you need to have somebody, in fact, see if juice is getting to the motor when the switch is on and the wipers are stuck. If that's the case, then it's the motor that's at fault. Otherwise, it's probably the switch.
That would make sense.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you so very much.
Good luck. Enjoy the rest of the winter, however long that may be.
Thank you. You too.
See you, Kristen.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Joe. I'm from Ocean Pines, Maryland.
Hey, Joe.
I have a 2002 Buick LeSabre. It has 162,000 miles
on it. Good for you, Joe.
Now, the question I have is, it needs about $1,500 to $1,800 worth of work.
Yeah.
It needs things like brakes and tires, and it needs all new rotors, and the hubs will wobble a little bit, but nothing bad.
Regular wear and tear.
Yeah.
So you're figuring you want to drive this back to New York to have your regular guy work on it, or you're going to have it done in Maryland?
No, I got a guy. I've been here a while.
But you're from New York.
Originally from Brooklyn, yes.
Of
course. Oh, really? What a wild guess.
How did you figure that out, Frank?
Are you guys psychic that you could pick that up?
Oh, yeah.
No.
We can tell by your ring.
Anyway, the reason that I'm debating even doing this work is when I get on a road like the Jersey Turnpike, at 65, 70 miles an hour, I get about 32 miles to the gallon with this thing.
Wow, that's great.
Now, the question is it worth it to put $1,500 to $1,800 worth of repairs in a car that's got 162,000 miles on it?
Are you
and it's
kidding?
Not that I can't afford a new car. It's just that I like this car.
Well, here's what you're not going to get, no matter how much money you spend on this car. You're not going to have side curtain airbags. You're not going to have traction control. This thing may have anti-lock brakes. Does it have anti-lock brakes?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it has anti-lock brakes.
You got everything you should want.
How many miles a year are you driving now?
22,000.
What are you, nuts?
What? Every year? Where are you going? Back and forth to New York.
I have a kid that's on a nationally winning soccer team, and we go all over the country and play soccer.
Why can't you do it on the bus like all the other kids?
What can I tell you? I like to drive.
Yeah, well, I think you should fix this car, and I think you should relegate this car to lesser duty. But if you're going to be driving 20,000 miles a year, and most of that's obviously on the highway,
yeah,
you could be driving a much safer car.
I see.
And if you like Buicks, you buy yourself a Lucerne. That's a wonderful car, and it's got all this. It's got stability control. It's got
can see Joe's position here. He's got a wonderful, beautiful car that he's friends with.
Yeah, that's the problem. You should never become friendly with your cars.
Yeah, I know.
Because you do, it's hard getting rid of them.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah, my brother has a harder time getting rid of cars than he does. Never mind, we won't go there. is there a place where you could keep this car? And if you bought a brand new one,
if I bought another car, I'd get rid of it. It's just that it rides so nice; it gets such great gas mileage. You know, the seats are all good, they're all leather. You know, aside from, tires, brakes, and so on, the car is in great shape.
Well, here's what I would recommend you do, and you can make your determination after you've done this, but you owe it to yourself to do this. Go and test drive a new Buick, and you'll say, oh, really? This is quieter, handles better, it's smoother, it's more responsive, and we'll get the same kind of mileage that you're getting now, pretty close.
I see.
So, and you'll be comforted by knowing that you're driving a much safer car.
Yeah.
So it's not the romantic, exciting thing to do. If you were the only one in it, I'd say, what the heck.
Yeah, that's pretty. It's sad though.
Yeah, it is sad. But here's the good news: you could fix the car up and give it to somebody.
You could give it to me.
No, it's too good for you. You can give it to somebody that's really deserving of a car.
I'll give them $100 for it.
Maybe, shut up. Maybe someone in your neighborhood.
All right, $150.
maybe someone you know that could use a good, reliable car. Fix it up and give them the car, and you buy yourself a new one. You'll love it.
No, I was hoping for another 100 thou out of it.
Well, you might get it, but you're going to get it driving back and forth to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
But I think at 20,000 miles a year, you're asking the car to do a lot.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it was worth asking.
It was worth asking, and we didn't give you the answer you were hoping for.
No, not really. Actually, you gave me the answer I thought you were going to give me.
Yeah. Really? Oh, that's too bad.
Well, what can I tell you?
Yeah, and I think we're going to have to stand by it.
Yeah.
I was all ready to be on your side, Joe, but not with the little kid.
Yeah, and plus he wants the car anyway. So keep Tom on the list, Joe. See you later, man.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your call. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jane in Montgomery, Alabama.
Hey, Jane, what's up?
I love your show, and I'm really hoping you guys can help me out of a jam here.
Well, so many call with such hope, and so many go away disappointed. So we just want to warn you in advance, but what's up? What's going on?
Well, the car I'm calling about is a 500 series BMW that it's an 09. It's not very old, and it actually my husband drives the car, but I'm completely responsible for this problem. That it's not really mechanical, but it seems sometimes a few months ago this terrible smell started in the car. I mean, it smelled like a small animal had died in the hood. We had no idea what it was. I mean, it was out of the blue. So finally one day my husband comes in and said he had solved the mystery. And apparently one day while I was driving the car to the market over the holidays, a small jar of whipping cream had rolled out of the grocery bag under the driver's seat.
Oh.
And stayed there for, we don't know how long.
Oh, this wasn't one of those aerosol cans. This was like, this is a container that would be like a small milk container.
Yes, but it's not the kind of milk container that you're thinking of. Probably it was a small plastic jar with a screw top. I mean, it was sealed, but apparently it stayed under there so long that it soured so badly that it seeped out and leached out onto the carpet. So it took another few days for me to find exactly where it had leached out on the carpet, and I tried vinegar and baking soda, and then nothing would help. The smell was just as bad. So, in desperation, I called the dealership and said, "Can you please help me? I really am in a jam here." And he said, "No problem." He gave me the name and number of this nice guy who he said deodorizes cars for dealerships.
I got to tell you right now, Jane, there is not enough deodorizer manufactured annually in any country to mask this smell.
Well, I think that's what I'm afraid of. So I called the guy, and he met me, and he said, "Okay, we're going to fumigate the vehicle, and you need to leave it closed for an hour and a half." And he said,
"And we're going to set it on fire."
He said, "Look, if you look out the window and you see that it looks like a smoke bomb has gone off, do not be surprised." It was terrible. So he said, "Wait an hour and a half." So I waited 2 hours. He charged me $35. I said, "What have you put in there? Is it toxic?" He said, "Well, it's approved by the FDA," and that is all he would say. So I went out there 2 hours later. I opened the car door, and I was knocked down by the worst, powdery, perfumey, awful smell that was almost as bad as the dead animal smell. And it's been a week, and it's still there.
So you replaced one smell with a worse smell.
Exactly. So my question is, what did he use? What could he possibly have used? And is it going to make us sick or kill us? And number two, are we ever going to get a car back?
Well, I don't know what he used. There are lots of products like this on the market. The easiest way to find out what he used is to go and ask him.
He wouldn't tell me.
Well, he's got to tell you. He wouldn't tell you then, but you've got to go back to him
and tell him you can't drive the car,
and you're going to sue him.
And you're going to sue him
because
exactly.
you want to find out what he used so you can get the antidote for it.
Oh, gosh, I should have known when it only cost me $35 in cash. I should have known I was kind of going to have a problem, but okay. So really, there's really nothing we can do.
Yeah, you got to go and visit him. You got to find out where he is. And go there, bring your husband, just in case it gets ugly, and find out what he used. Because more importantly, you want to find out if what he used is dangerous.
Well, that's what I want to know. I'm concerned.
And what's he going to do now to fix it?
Nothing.
Oh, now he's going to set the car on fire for real. here's what I'm going to predict. Eventually, whatever he used is going to go away. I mean, little by little, it's going to abate.
You think?
But I'm going to predict that when it does finally dissipate, the first really warm day, you're going to smell the milk.
Oh, it's terrible. So you really don't even think it covered up, it got rid of the milk?
No, it's just it's just masking it. And it probably didn't get rid of it. And I think the ultimate solution here, and what you could have done from the get-go, is to pull the carpet out.
Oh, my gosh.
And probably take out the driver's seat if the thing was under the driver's seat.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
And maybe to treat the driver's seat, there are all kinds of products out there that will remove smells. But once that stuff gets into the fabric, and we've had people that have spilled milk in cars, you never get rid of it.
And don't forget, you can also never sell this vehicle.
Exactly.
Who's going to buy it?
I can't believe I have ever driven this car. And the worst thing is, it happened right after my husband had gotten caught in a giant hailstorm down here in Alabama, and he had just gotten it out of the shop where they had to replace all the windows that got broken. The whole thing was dented to pieces, and they totally rebuilt it basically on the outside. And he was so happy to have it back. And then I went and did this.
This car has dragon tracks, as they say. This might be time to get rid of this car.
Oh, I really wish you had given me a better answer, but it's a good one, and I appreciate you giving it a try. And I know now not what to not expect.
Find out what this stuff is, because even if you're going to trade it in or sell it, it would be nice to know that whatever stuff he uses is not going to cause brain damage.
No kidding.
We think this is what may have happened to my brother. We're not sure, but he did have a couple of stinky cars.
I'm
Anyway, Jing, good luck.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, it's time for us to take a short break.
And when we come back, what's on the agenda?
Well, when we do come back, I'll have this week's new puzzler, which is from my family relations series.
Like I'm my own grandpa? that kind of family relation?
Well, maybe. Something like that. You never know. And we'll have more of your car questions, too, so please stay tuned.
People don't sing about cars no more. Cool cars died in the oil wars. It really doesn't sound very sexy to say I drive a little four-cylinder Chevrolet. Nobody sings about cars anymore.
And even though the NPR exterminator flips through his pest guide whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler, which I did say was from my Family Relations series.
Yes, you did say that.
Yes, I did.
And where is it?
It's right here. This was sent in by Jane Hinckley. You ready?
Yeah.
Anyone who has listened to Car Talk knows that we refer to Cambridge, Massachusetts, the city in which both of us were born, as what?
Our fair city.
That's right. It's even part of our snail mail address and of course, the home of Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, it is.
You know, now the term Our Fair City was borrowed, I guess, from a Puzzler of many, many years ago. And when I get desperate enough, I may even repurpose that Puzzler. But today's Puzzler has to do with a man who, like us, was born in Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts. And his parents, both of them, were also born in Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts. Like our parents. He lived
our fair city.
All right. He lived his entire life here in Cambridge, Mass. So let's review. The man in question was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, just like us.
Yeah.
He died in Cambridge, Massachusetts, too, like we're going
like
to do.
Us.
And he may never have left. He's buried here. But here's the interesting part. This fellow was never a citizen of the United States. And it's not because he chose not to be. He was never eligible to be a citizen of the United States. And the question is, how could that be? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a new iPad tablet computer with 1 gigahertz A4 processor, 64 gigabyte flash drive, Wi-Fi and 3G enabled, 10-hour battery, ambient light sensor, accelerometer, food and drink dispenser, and optional butt scratcher, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Again, 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. We're ready to give it the old college try at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Adam from Medford, Oregon.
Hey, Adam, what's going on in Medford, Oregon?
Oh, not much. We're still just driving our horses.
Still driving your horses?
How are they doing? All right?
Yeah, doing pretty good.
How can we help today?
Well, I have a white 2000 Kia Sportage. It's about 120,000 miles, and 2 to 3 times a week in the morning. Sometimes it can be cold, sometimes not. When I'm pulling out of the driveway in the morning, even after I've warmed it up, when I pull it from reverse into drive, there's this really, really heavy lag. And it goes on for probably about 20, 30 meters or so. And then the car kind of picks up and keeps moving.
When you say it's draggy, you put it in drive. You've backed out of the driveway without any difficulty, I assume.
Correct.
And then you put it in drive and you step on the gas. And what happens?
It's like...
Oh, it sounds like my brother before he has his orange juice in the morning.
Does it make a funny noise?
You know, I step on the pedal, and it sounds like it's about to putter. It like putters a little bit. It's like and then it goes.
Oh, okay. So the engine is not revving up.
Right.
And it's only this first time of the day?
Generally, yeah. It's a little inconsistent. You know, it can happen 2 to 3 times a week. You know, it's not every single morning, and it's not always when it's cold.
Ah.
Has the check engine light been on for very long?
It has. Not very long. I would say probably 5,000 miles or so, somewhere in that neighborhood.
And it
was intermittent, too. Like, the check engine light would come on for a period of time, then it would go off. And I was like, okay, maybe it was just a faulty light or something along those lines.
Oh, you know, those lights come on and off all the time, but for no reason whatsoever.
So you never
it's a little known fact that those lights have a mind of their own. I figured. I know you figured. I know millions of other people around the country have figured the same thing, that those lights can come on just to tick you off.
Yeah.
Say, Adam's having a real good day. Let's turn the light on.
And you say, what do I care?
So it's likely that the light is telling you something. And it could be something as simple as you have an engine misfire. And it may be that your transmission isn't shifting properly. It sounds to me almost like the transmission isn't starting off in first gear, even though you're asking it to, because there's something wrong with one of the shift solenoids inside the transmission. And that check engine light that's been on might be telling you that. Just a wild guess.
Yeah. See, but he knows. He knows that whatever it's telling him, it ain't good. So he's just
ignoring
everything.
Well, yeah. It
good
might,
idea.
It might not be good. You might not be. What are your long-range prospects for this thing, Adam? I mean, it's got 120 on it. Are you shooting for another 80 or 100? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to get another 30 or 40,000 miles out of it.
So you don't take it in for regular service anymore?
Not really. I mean, just regular oil changes.
Yeah,
no,
I'm kind of curious. You know, I've often speculated that, you know, the book that you have that tells you when to go in for your regular service usually goes in increments of, like, I think 15,000 miles, you know. So after you've done that six times, you're up to 90,000 miles, and the book stops telling you what to do.
Yeah.
At that point, I think lots of people put that book neatly away in the glove box and never look at it again.
That's right.
You know, but
I put it up on eBay.
Exactly. So, you know, at 105,000 miles, you'd expect that you'd do the 15K all over again. You know, but most
or not.
Or not.
Yeah.
So most people don't do it, and you're one of them. So my guess is that you haven't had it in for anything but oil changes, and you're missing out on a whole lot, because you could be finding out things about your vehicle that you probably don't want to hear. So I think if you want this thing to last another 50,000 miles or so, you're going to have to go in and have somebody look at it. And when they do put the scanner on it, I bet they're going to find out that there's something wrong with your transmission.
Gotcha.
But you say the rest of the day it runs okay?
Well, yeah, and I wonder.
Well,
if this
yeah.
Is
wait a minute. Well, yeah. What
well,
does
what
that
do we,
mean?
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, good enough.
Almost.
Oh, what? Why? What else does it do?
Well, it might be a related problem. On occasion, when, you know, probably halfway through the day, it can be any time during the day, even after the car's warmed up and I've been driving it, but it seems as though when the car's downshifting, let's say from fourth to third, third to second, like when I'm hanging a left turn at a light or something like that, I can hear a large, like, tink.
Tink.
Yeah, like a loud, like, it sounds like metal hitting metal is what it sounds like.
Is it accompanied by a slight hesitation in the shifting? In other words, you feel like there's a lag in the shifting, and then you get the tink. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it's having trouble downshifting, and you're getting the slapping in the drivetrain, and that's what the tink is. The tink is the slapping of the universal joint against the yoke of the driveshaft, making that thing reverberate and making that tinking sound, as if someone got under there with a hammer and tink hit the driveshaft.
Yeah.
So you have you have transmission issues, and just a word to the wise, I think the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you. So,
yeah,
I would get it in this afternoon if you could and have somebody look at it. And it may be, you might be able to replace a solenoid. You might be able to change the transmission fluid in the filter, and you may be all right for the next 50,000 miles.
Okay, great.
But you can't disregard it.
He's done it so far. Good luck, Adam.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, see you. Bye-bye. Oh, I have a feeling we disheartened Adam a bit.
I think we did, don't you?
Yeah. Adam, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't mean to. We sounded maybe a little bit too...
He said, well, goodbye, guys.
But yeah, it was kind of a half-hearted...
I'm sorry that I called.
Sorry that I... Goodbye. Just, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, what does he want? Good news?
Well, yeah, I was he was hoping we'd say, look, you know, buy it to air fresh and everything's going to... Okay, I don't know. 888-CAR-TALK, that's 888. Those air fresheners don't have the potency that
they used to.
Used to be you bought one of those Pine air fresheners. And
you could
another 20,000 miles. 888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Howard from Hudson, Ohio.
Hey, Howard.
Howard.
What's going on, man?
Well, I got a 2001 GMC pickup truck, and the problem I'm having is with the brakes. They actually work good until right before you stop, then all of a sudden you get this, and then you feel like you glide for about a second, and then it stops.
Oh, yeah. What you're hearing is, I believe, the anti-lock brakes kicking in because you have a bad wheel sensor. You know, there are sensors in each of the four wheels.
Yes.
So you know what the anti-lock brake system does. It it pulses the brake fluid pressure going to a given wheel when it senses that wheel is beginning to lock up. So by pulsing
And that's what it's doing now.
And that's what it's doing now, exactly. It's doing it now even though you don't want it to, and there's nothing wrong because that sensor at one of those front wheels probably, and we've replaced a lot of these on General Motors trucks. You might try cleaning it. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some crud that gets in there that maybe keeps the sensor from picking up the signal from the reluctor wheel. But if that isn't it, then we've often replaced the whole hub assembly. I think it comes with the bearing and everything. You replace the whole gizmo.
Really?
But that's what it is.
Oh.
So what you're going to have to do is have somebody put the scan tool on this, and it'll tell them which sensor is faulty. Because you don't want to replace all of them. That runs into money.
So is it something I can do?
do you have horses? No, do you have farm animals?
Oh, maybe two or three.
What do you got, goats?
They're called neighbors.
Close enough.
Well, do you have mechanical skills?
Sure.
Yeah, well, if
Well, it's been going on for 2 years, so.
Well, I mean, it would be...
It's not rocket science.
It's not rocket science pulling the hub out, replacing it. You're just not going to know which one to do.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to need some kind of... So you could go someplace and get it diagnosed, pay for that, and then come home and do it.
Huh.
Give it a shot. Yeah, give yourself a long weekend, too. I'd wait for, like, Memorial Day weekend for this. The weather will be warmer, and you'll have nothing to do for 3 days, and you'll get it done.
Oh, there you go.
Good luck, Howard.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for your call.
All right, bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michaela from Chicago.
Hi, Michaela.
Michaela.
What's going on?
Well, our situation is that we are actually moving from Chicago shortly to San Francisco, and we just cannot make the decision as to whether our 2001 Honda Civic should make the move with us.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. We have a one-year-old, so we're going to need to get a new car soon anyway. It's too small for that.
And how many miles are on the Civic?
About 104,000.
No, that's nothing.
Not too bad.
And what would you do if you decided against taking the Civic out to San Francisco?
Well, we'd probably rent something for a month or two and, try to save up a little money for a down payment on something new. But it's just with the move, there's a whole lot of money going out right now as it is. And they're quoting us about $1,000 to move the Civic. And, it also needs a little work. It needs new tires. It probably needs about $1,500 of other work is what our mechanic has recently told us.
I mean, you're not going to drive the car out there?
No, we're flying. Between the one-year-old and the cat, we decided we just couldn't do the road trip.
Oh, but it would be a road trip to remember.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's true, but at this point, the tickets are already bought.
Oh, the tickets are bought, so you're flying out there, and it's a matter of what now, because that adds a different twist to it. So we need $1,000 to move it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, what is it going to cost to rent a car for 2 months?
I think it would be a few $100 a month is what I was looking at.
Okay, and then when you finally give up the rental car, then you're going to buy a new car?
That's what we're talking about.
Mm.
All right, let's go back. Why are you leaving Chicago? I mean,
we're sad to do it, I have to say. We love Chicago a lot, but we are leaving for a job opportunity.
For your husband or you?
For my husband, actually. He just finished law school, and he's going to be starting at a law firm down in Silicon Valley.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, jeez.
Tough to argue with that.
As I said, and we figure if we have to go somewhere, San Francisco is not a bad place to have to move. But
not a bad place to have to move, that's for sure.
Not at all.
My recommendation would have been, before you foolishly went and bought the tickets, is that you should move your stuff out there and drive the car. But because it's not going to break down.
Oh, no, I never thought it was going to break down. I just thought it was going to be miserable between a screaming baby and a vomiting cat, you know?
The cat's a puker?
Only in the car.
Yeah.
Only in the car. He's a terrific cat otherwise.
Yeah.
But.
Well, put her in the car and bingo.
Exactly.
All right, well, you made the right decision, Michael. I think you should ship the car out there.
Really?
Yeah, I think you should spend $1,000, ship the car out there, and at least it's a car you'll be familiar with. and you won't have to, there won't be any pressure to find a car because the lease payments are piling up.
I suppose that's true, but you don't think that, again, if we're figuring $1,000 to ship it, and then, as I said, it probably needs at least $1,000 worth of work plus new tires, you really think it's worth putting that much into the
Civic?
Yeah,
I do
think.
Well, here's the thing. How soon is this all happening?
Very soon, about 6 weeks.
So you have very little time.
Yes.
So what's going to happen is you're going to have to take a discounted price on the car. Because when you start advertising it for what you think it's really worth, you're not going to get any bites. And every week you're going to be dropping the price until you finally dropped it by a couple of $1,000.
Well, that would be sad.
It would be sad, which means that if you were going to do that, you'd be better off shipping the car out there. Spend the money, buy the tires, fix it up, do whatever else it needs. If it's $2,000, it's better than selling it for a $2,000 discount.
Yeah, and you'll probably have it for years.
Plus, it's going to get stolen as soon as you get out there anyway.
because it's really a sweet ride that everybody wants to steal.
Well,
it's
but you know what? Thieves steal the cars are the easiest to steal, and yours, I think, is among them.
Well, I guess that's true. So there you go. So we'll just leave it on the street a little bit and see. Oh, of course, it's been parked on the street of Chicago for 5 years. So.
Yeah, well, as soon as you get to San Francisco, it'll be stolen the first night. Just don't leave the cat or the kid in the car. have a wonderful trip. Fix the car and ship it out there.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your advice.
Have a wonderful time in San Francisco.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Sweet Briar, Open Fire, Oscar Mayer, Jambalaya, Fresh Papaya, Stolichnaya, Frequent Fryer, Lunch Supplier, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Yes.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our tax preparer is Bernice Documents. Our sensitive language advisor is Holly Schmidt. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the panhandlers on sabbatical in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1012, stumble through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, great stuff about distracted driving.
Yeah, there's a stack of interesting new articles written by our distraction guru, David Strayer.
Probably written while he was, driving?
And doing his nails, I'm sure. No. Strayer's a very good researcher who blogs on our site, and among the articles he's posted recently are A Simple Way to Do Your Own Driver Distraction Study.
Yeah.
Why Passenger Conversations Are Safer Than Cell Phone Conversations.
Huh?
And What Happens to Your Brain When You're on a Cell Phone.
Assuming you have a brain.
Right. Well, it's all good stuff, and it's all at the website right now.
Check out David Strayer's distraction blog at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the Pentagon enacts a Car Talk listening policy of don't ask, don't tell whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.